charge the ion accelerator. It's time to forge the narrative.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host. Tonight, I'm joined by Adam Camilleri.
G'day, everyone, from the Great White North itself. It's a little smoky at the moment, but I'm sitting here in my hotel in Edmonton, ready for the Games Workshop Open.
I'm glad you mentioned that. We are the Bell of Souls podcast. Thanks for joining us, everyone. We have been kind of in and out these last couple of weeks, and I apologize for not having a more consistent release schedule. We've been traveling, and that's inclusive of this week. When you are hearing this, most likely you can tune into us on the Games Workshop Twitch stream to be broadcasting some stuff from Edmonton with the Warhammer Open. Going to be doing some Warhammer 40K talk the entire weekend.
Yeah, first one from Edmonton. Very exciting stuff. The local community is coming out in force, and that should be a fantastic 8-rounder.
It's con. It's going to be great. Like, I cannot wait to bring you the vibe and enthusiasm from that. But also, thought it was very important to talk about Chaos Knights. Like, both of us have Chaos Knight armies. Knights are, since Knight hit the scene, they've been, well, in the very beginning, I think it was in 6th or whatever, I think Knights were, like, almost like format.
They were. They were dominant because of what you needed to do to penetrate that front armor, because they were front and side 12, I believe. Yeah. And so it's just like, you must have this gun to pass back in the day, because you have to be able to penetrate that armor. Yeah, and then they had the ion shield that could rotate to give a 5-up on a facing.
The way that they interacted with the missions, I mean, they're like the missions of the day, you know, like it was a whole different thing. And they've come now, and that was just Imperial Knights, and now it's come a long way. Now we got Chaos Knights on the scene, and the game itself is in a much better place to receive these knights, and that's what, you know, we've seen happen over the last couple of editions. And now, but this codex changes the knights a little bit more.
Yeah, so we've had a overall reduction in toughness. So essentially every knight has gone down by one toughness, and they've had their wounds increased to be somewhat of a balance to that. Now, that has changed a lot of the metrics. It used to be that strength 5 wasn't a thing that really functioned versus knights, because they were into minimum toughness 10. Now strength 5 is absolutely fantastic into all those armatures and war dogs. All those war dogs. And against the larger knights, things like a las cannon had a 50-50 chance. Now a las cannon is a 3-up or las cannon equivalent. So there's a lot. And I think I can't think of a faction that can't reach into their tool bag and find something that's fit for this purpose now. And most of the time, so the majority of the good melee units in the army, in every army, usually function off a strength 5 profile or better. Now, what was awkward, you know, that Mastercrafted Power Sword, you know, 5-2-2 is like that baseline. This is a good melee profile. And now that is all of a sudden going to be super incentivized. Like, so you don't need to go looking into your bag of tricks to find a Canis Rex solution, you know, so to speak. But in exchange,
go ahead. Go ahead. Exchange for like that.
Bunch more wounds. So yeah, at the same time,
every chassis has more wounds than before.
Yeah.
There's another big, you can expound on that in just a second, but I also want to highlight the OC, the objective control stat,
yes,
change too. So I think this is going to, I think it's, when I say they're differently, is the knight generals are going to have to kind of approach every aspect of the game a little bit differently. And I think the question from this codex is, does it have the tools to do that in a way that makes them still feel like that?
I think they absolutely do. So previously it used to be, you know, when I was playing my Chaos Knights, I put two war dogs on an objective. That objective is mine. Like, you have to throw a good portion of your army to go and get that objective off me. Because it used to be like, of course, you have this skirmishing portion of the game where a lot of the time the game is won and lost on the skirmishes, on who can deny their opponent points, you know, hold their opponent's objectives, things like that. And that's usually not done with your best units. Your best units are usually going for the jugular in order to, you know, destroy your opponent's best units. And so a lot of the time the games are won and lost by that little positioning stuff, the little expansion objective stuff, you know, who holds their adjacent objective better for longer. And it used to be that Chaos Knights especially, the one we're going to talk about, could do that so easily. Here's two brigands at a carnival. It's going to take most of your army to go and equate to this. And then that's still not a backbreaking. If you do kill all three, it's probably taking most of your army. And then I get to respond to your best units and yada, yada, yada. Whereas now there are a bunch of skirmish units, you know, possibly with the assistance of like a grenade or, you know, adjacent stratagem, which can, you know, flip an objective. Now, I will say when I first looked at this and I saw that we were going from 8 OC on objective control on a war dog to 6, I actually didn't think it was that big a deal, because the vast majority of the time you're either wielding 5 objective control in your skirmishing units, or 10, should it be, you know, a unit of guardsmen, or 10 or more.
get so, up there and like six, even though that it's a big old base, you could sit there, you could still overwhelm it right on the edges.
Exactly. So going from 8 to 6, I didn't see as that big a deal. Now, what is the big deal is the fact that Chaos Knights War Dogs will now, when they bracket to go, you know, when they lose more than half of their wounds, 2/3 of their wounds, they'll lose OC. They'll go from 6 OC to 3 OC. And from the people that I know who've already played with this, some of them being playtested, they said that's the more impactful change, that you don't have to kill the knight in order to contest the objective now. Because that's how it used to be, because they were 8 OC from 12 wounds down to their last wound.
Yeah, 12, zero,
they were 10, 8 all time. So 5 scouts couldn't take an objective off a war dog. They have to kill it, and they're not going to do it. Whereas now, you know, might get lucky with that missile launcher, might throw a grenade, might, you know, take a wound or two off in combat, get it below that breakpoint, and all of a sudden the 5 OC does flip the objective. So it's going to give a lot more agency to a lot more units in the game. And the ball has been firmly thrown in the Chaos Knights, you know, ballpark to find ways and means around this. And they absolutely have. They've given us a suite of incredible, all four detachments they've given us, the reskinned index detachment and the three new ones are all extremely playable and fun. My personal favorite is the Lords of Dread, because I really want to be able to play my big boys, my big chassis. I'm here to play big stompy robots ball.
Look, that is the calling. That's why I think one gets is the first place. Yeah. But before we get into the detachments, let's talk about the army rules, the Harbingers of Dread. In your army factious Chaos Knights, then you get this ability. Basically, you can pick or roll to get some special abilities at the beginning of the game. And there's even a detachment, and they let you get an extra one. And I think it's, you know, real powerful. These are really cool things, I think. But there is, in my opinion, a standout ability. Let me know if you agree with one of them. But the Deathly Terror ability, so let me start from the beginning, gains a dread ability depending on which are active for your army. The Deathly Terror ability is active for your army from the start of the battle. In addition, at the start of the first, third, and fifth battle round, you can either select one of the dread abilities or randomly select two dread abilities to apply by rolling 2d6 and applying the result rolled from the numbered 1 through 6 on the right. Unfortunately, though, you can't double up, and if you do roll doubles, you know, it's kind of a wasted roll. But you know, maybe still worth it, especially early, you know, when you're just feeling good. But any abilities that have been selected are active until the end of the battle. You cannot select the same dread ability more than once, and any duplicate dread abilities have no additional effect. That's the finish.
So there's already a school of thought formulating on how to maximize your benefits from this. So I'm interested to know, though, which is the one you said was the standout?
Let me get to this here.
I bet it starts with D, ends with darkness.
It does. Darkness, yeah. The reason I won Deathly Terror, Despair, Doom, Darkness, Dismay, Delirium, and Dominion. That's why I wanted to make sure I was saying the right one. And I believe Darkness is the standout here. This is on a roll of a 3 or choose each time an attack is made against this model. If the attacking unit is battle-shocked or more than 18 inches away, subtract 1 from the hit roll.
So the school of thought so far, that's kind of coalescing, and this is something that I definitely support, is that if you're playing against guns, if your opponent has lots of guns, just pick that one first round. That's your first turn pick. Unless if they're, you know, a combined arms got a bit of everything, or if they're mostly melee, you roll on turn one and then pick on 3 and 5. Because turn one, you can't double up, so you can't waste the roll. And then turn three, you've got a lot more information and you can pick the one that's going to be most applicable. And turn five, you just pick a little cherry on top, whichever one's going to make the most sense. But turn one, pick darkness if your opponent has gun. If they're Tau, if they're Votan, if they're guard, just slam darkness down. You get an army wide -1 to hit for turn one at least.
It's huge.
The army's just getting -1 to hit. It's massive. It's massive. It's really, really big.
It's battle shocked or 18 inches away.
Yeah,
so,
correct.
Like, you can force that in a couple different situations. I think it's very powerful.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think darkness is hands down the one you pick turn one. If they're, like I said, if they're like a generalist spaceman, they've got a bit of everything, you roll turn one because you can't roll in doubles and you can't, you know, Nombo your roll, you'll always get two fresh, two good things. And then turn three, pick with good information what things are going to be most applicable. Turn five, do the same. So that's how Chaos Knight players are generally thinking to maximize the benefits of this army rule so far.
Well, also, like Dismay, I want to talk about this for just 1 second, is that this is another ability. In the battle shock step of your opponent's command phase, for each enemy unit that is below its starting strength and within 9 inches of this model, that enemy unit must take a battle shock test. And when you start talking about battle shock with people that play a lot of games, they say battle shock can flip games in the right time. So that is very situational. And again, one of those where I think where you talked about that cherry on top, you know, if you're going into turn five and things are looking, you know, a little dicey for you and you only need one more objective, maybe you could flip it with a little bit of dismay.
Absolutely. So the other one I want to highlight is number six. I can't remember what the name of this one
Dominion.
Is. Which D word it is. Dominion. So this is +3 inches to all of your armor abilities. In addition, being that first ability that is the within 9 inches of minus one leadership. You can also just make that, you know, +3 inches.
And then so that's the deathly terror. That's the one you get automatically. You have a deathly terror.
That's exactly right. You just get that always. Every knight army just starts with that. But you have all the aura abilities on all your big knights that give out, you know, rerolls. Give out auras of all these other little bits and pieces, and you can just have +3 to all of those turn one if you wished. Or in my mind, that's the one I'm most likely to pick on turn 3, I believe, because then it just maximizes the range of all my debuffs, all my offense, all those things. So yeah, I think that one's my second little pick.
It's nice that they're, I mean, all these seem functional and usable, and there's a reason that they exist.
Yes.
And I think it's one of those things that the generals can pick from. We, you know, we talk a lot about the game is in a great spot to let that generalship shine. And the, you know, when you enable and activate these is going to be important.
And it's very interesting. We're talking about the, I guess in the game design space, there's a lot of armies where their army rule is the buy-in, like Oath of Moment kind of thing. The army rule is just awesome. And then the detachment rule is the cherry on top. I'd say this army is designed the other way around, where the army rule is good, but it's not nothing. It's not army defining. It's just a series of nice buffs for you to accumulate across the game. But the detachments are the buy-in, so they're giving you much more agency to pick the powerful detachment rule of your dreams. And I personally like that. I like that a lot.
Nice. And I guess we can go ahead and jump into the detachments. You said there's one that you are interested. Like it's got you excited.
Several that I'm very into, mate. Actually, all three. I've got lists already designed, and I'm ruminating, percolating on multiple lists for all these detachments. Lords of Dread is the one that.
So
was...
it is important. Like one you mentioned too, that some other changes. I know we talked about in the very beginning, but like battle line is now only enabled through one of these detachments. If you are a war dog enthusiast, you might be forced into one.
Yeah, and so they've removed battle line from all the war dogs, and then. The Hound Pack, which is the last detachment, the fourth one, gives battle line back to the War Dogs. So there's a detachment designed just for big boys, just for knight characters, and there's a detachment designed just for War Dogs. And I like that. That's cool. That means you have two extreme archetypes that you can go upon. And the other two detachments are kind of in-betweeners, where they're kind of a bit of everything. You can kind of choose your poison. And I like that. That's the perfect spread. Here's one for this skew, here's one for this skew, and here's two that are good for everything. And I think that's a beautiful place to be for Chaos Knight players. Lords of Dread is my personal fave.
Yep.
This is the one where they've gone completely buck wild trying to make knight characters, which are all only the big knights come as character stock, trying to make them very pushed. And they have very pushed them. They gave them 6 enhancements, my dude.
This one feels different. It looks different on the page. It feels different. It seems cool.
So straight off the cuff, the detachment ability lets you have 2 more OC on all your knight characters. So you go from 10 OC to 12 OC, which is a big breakpoint. Just being above 10 is a big breakpoint. So people can't throw 5 OC2 models on your objective or 10 OC1 models on your objective.
10 Necron Warriors or whatever right over there.
Yeah, yeah, well, it would be 5. They're OC2. But you got that. Same diff, mate.
Oh, right.
Yeah, same diff. Yeah. The other part of the detachment ability allows you to use one of their stratagems for free once per battle round. And this stratagem... I got to tell you, my dude, this stratagem is just enough of a buy-in already. This is at the, I can't remember if it's the start or the end of any phase. Yeah, but anyway, you could use it multiple times a turn. Did you look it up?
I know, I was waiting for you to say and mention the name, but...
Yes, so what it does is it stickies an objective, but doesn't just sticky an objective. So that, by sticky objective, I mean it maintains control of that objective to your faction, to your army, regardless of if you have models or objective control upon it. But not only does it do that, it maintains 5 objective control on that objective, regardless.
Oh, right, yeah. So you're exactly. So this is the special thing about that is it makes it still you can't just put one model on there and take
one
it
guy.
You got to go and get it with something.
Yeah. And there's all these little people with hex mark, a single hex mark destroyer, a single Gravis captain, a single Alaris Terminator captain, which usually you'll have to leave a whole freaking knight at home to stop that guy taking your home objective. Now, that guy can't take your home objective by himself. Can't be done.
Claimed for the Dark Gods. That is the CP stratagem. Yeah, sorry.
Which, like I said, for once per battle round is free. And so you can do that at the start of your move phase, start of your shooting phase, start of your charge phase, starting a five phase and once for free. Technically, if you have four CP, you can stick in five objectives in a turn. It's not going to happen, but if it did, you probably have won that game.
In the beginning of the show, you were talking about how, you know, if you just kind of get one turn, like you blink, if you get ahead on one, like turn three, if you score all the primary and your opponent scores none of the primary, that's a huge thing for you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a game. That's a game winning strategy if you can if you can make it happen consistently. But wait, there's more. So the six enhancements that they have, every one of them is takeable. Every single one. There's one that gives you reroll charges and once per game advancing charge, which is a personal favorite. Chuck it on a rampager. You'll never have a bad time. There's another one that is assault and once per game fight. Now, that one is very interesting. Now, what is interesting about Chaos Knights is that usually their knights come as this one shoots really good, this one fights really good. There's very few that do both well, unless you go trawling through Forge World and you'll find my good friend, the Chaos Knight Atropos, which fights good and shoots good. So it gets maximum value out of that assault and still gives a once per game fly first to just be like, ha ha ha. I could laugh some more, ha ha ha.
You haven't mentioned the Trophy Hunter, which lets him get an additional 3 inches on the pylons. So
yeah, one of the strats, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, extremely good. The caveat on that one, I believe, is that you must make contact with him.
Consolidate, not pylon. I apologize.
But you're consolidating 6 inches with an OC-12 model. Like, you're talking about getting those primary swings, mate. That's exactly how you can engineer some of those.
It changes the math and how people stack their units in and around you and stuff. So, you know, it is something to really consider and knowing. Now, granted, we've talked about how to spend 7 command points. That's all we talked about. So.
We have. Yes. And some of the other ones that are fantastic in attachment, forgive me if I'm wrong, but there's another one that's reroll once to hit and wound against monsters and vehicles, and then full rerolls to hit and wound for a single CP against Titanic units or towering. I can't remember which keyword it triggers off. But that is
Titanic.
Another one. That's beautiful.
Titanic.
But one CP for reroll once to hit and wound is a fantastic strategy. Fantastic. Very, very strong. They also have, if I'm wrong, the last one is walk over a unit and do a grenade. So use that super heavy walker ability to walk over a model, and then they'll take, you roll 6 dice, every 4 plus is a mortal wound, and then they have to take a battle shock text afterwards, which can be a negative a bunch. Yeah, big fan of that one as well. They have a great strategy suite. They have a great enhancement suite. Like, it just keeps getting better and better. Yeah, huge fan of that detachment. Do you have a favorite that jumps out to you?
So I do want to try the hunting pack. Like, I think that's just kind of fun. But at the same time, there is a new knight in here and looking forward to getting that on the table. And I think the idea of having a kind of combined of the bigs and smalls, because the bigs give auras. You know, there are things that,
yes.
I mean, we can talk about some of the stuff. There's ways to enhance the things that are already on the table.
Well, talking about the Ruinator and also talking about the Hound Lance, which is the detachment for all the war dogs you mentioned. The Hound Lance and the Ruinator actually go together quite well. If you're going to take one big knight in your war dog army, I think it is the Ruinator. So there's a bunch of things I'm about to tell you, so try and keep them straight in your mind, and apologies for this. The data sheet ability for the Brigand has been changed. It now no longer gives you +1 AP against the closest target. It now gives you ignores cover when targeting units on objectives. The Ruinator now has an aura of +1 AP against the closest target. You see where I'm going here. So a single Ruinator, which can have a 12-inch aura, thanks to one of the army abilities, can have a 12-inch aura for, a pack of brigands, your fire base of brigands. And those brigands now have, AP1 on their Gatling cannons, ignores cover, targeting a unit on objective, and then another AP against the closest target. So that AP2 ignores cover on those Gatlings and just clearing objectives extremely efficiently. And then it gets even tighter from there, because one of the enhancements, and the Hound Pack will let you take 3 of your War Dogs as characters, thereby giving them enhancements. One of those enhancements is a 6-inch aura of reroll once to wound.
Reroll once to wound. It's the final howl, I think, is what that's called.
Yeah, and that's your little firebase combo. And the Ruinator defends the brigands. You can be the defense force for the brigands. He's fantastic flamer, good chest missiles, and very good marine clearing chest missiles, and then deadly combatant in combat as well, defends the brigands while they move up the board, clearing all the objectives. I think it actually sounds fantastic.
The reason you say the Terrapulse missiles is a blast weapon, that's the ones on the Ruinator, 36-inch range, 2d6 attacks, hits on 3, strength 8, neg 2 AP, 2 damage apiece.
Marine shredding machine is what that one. So when I read that profile, I said, oh, Marines, let's kill them. Let's go get them.
2d6 blast. Pretty good, yeah.
Well, it's averaging 8, you know, against five scouts, 5 intercessors. It's averaging 8 shots. That's a great way, place to be. You know, hitting on 3s, winning on 2s against those guys. And they'll have to be in cover.
This has the Night Ruiner has a methodical destruction ability. At the start of the first battle round, select one of the unit from your opponent's army to be this model's victim. Each time this model makes an attack that targets his victim, you can reroll the wound roll. Each time this model's victim is destroyed, select a new one.
Yeah, like, it's fantastic.
I mean, that's the gift that keeps on giving.
Two schools of thought on this. Pick it against something your opponent has to use early, like their scouts, their infiltrators, things they have to use to body block and screen and get an objective. Or pick it against the thing you don't want your opponent to use and put a deterrent into their mind. Like, your best unit, I get the real wins against. You're going to keep it back or you're going to use it? You know, and try and dodge this, you know,
I mean,
terrifying
beast. I've been playing a lot of, like, Death Company recently. Like, I'm terrified of that, you know, with these weapons.
Yeah, dude. Because so it's 2d6 auto-hitting shots on the turret weapon. It ignores cover 812, and then 2d6, 822 on the blast from the chest. It is a merely marine-killing machine. Because, like, it can just stand there and be like, well, I'm at 18-inch range. You're going to have to get to 18-inch away from me to try and get a successful charge next turn. Even if you've got a jump pack, you're going to get a 16-inch charge.
This volume of 2d6 attacks is with damage 2 is great, like, against anything, and you throw in a bonus special rule on that, it doesn't go away. Like, I think if that rule was just you picked the unit and basically marked them for death, it would and only worked once, it would still be good.
It'd still be fine. Yeah, it's still absolutely fine. The Handpack Lance detachment ability, apart from already giving you 3 models that get to be characters, giving you battle line back for the War Dogs, is essentially oath of moments, but instead of getting rerolls, you get sustained hits. Now, carnivores have been altered slightly. Sorry, I should let you guys know. Carnivores and brigands now hit on 3s.
They do. So there's a little bit of profiles have changed too. Like, so it's a little bit different.
So carnivores have sustained hits 1 on all their melee attacks. And a 3s to hit with sustained is mathematically very close to 2s to hit. But they have a much higher ceiling of potential. Like, you can just proc a bunch of 6s and then get even more hits. But also, there's more susceptible to minuses to hit now. So it's kind of comes out in the wash. It makes them a bit more interesting, because it used to be like, oh, wow, my carnivore made the charge. Do you want me to roll the dice? You know, I guess your rhino. There wasn't any point. I hit on 2s, win on 3s, flip it right over.
To give them plus to movement too.
There isn't a different detachment.
Yeah. So if you're, again, you got to play them a little bit differently, but I think they'll still find ways to get them to do what
There's some very good carnivore delivery systems, but even just moving 14 is just, I think it's still just fine. But so, because they have sustained hits 1, that is awesome, because that lets you just put sustained hits from the army, the detachment ability, to power up to supercharge your brigands. Because the carnivores are detachment rule agnostic, pretty much. They don't need it. And so because of that, you get to free up your detachment rule to superpower your shooting phase, which I think is quite good. The other thing I'd point out is that there is a stratagem specifically for you. I read it as specifically for my carnivores, which gives them critical 5s. It's 2 carnivores engaged in the same unit, in the same unit in combat, and you get critical 5s against that unit. And when they've got, when they've got 12 attacks each on their sweep with 8-2-1, like, people bring in ACDC units, those big units of Necron Warriors, all of a sudden have to be terrified of that combo. Yeah, very powerful.
What we're talking about is the Infernal Lance was the detachment that gives the Malefic Surge ability. In your command phase, one or more Chaos Knights from units of your army, you can make a Malefic Surge. Each one that does must first take a leadership test. If the test is failed, it suffers D3 mortal wounds. Then, until the start of your next command phase, that unit is empowered. While a unit is empowered, it can use one of the Malefic Surge abilities below. Once that unit has used a Malefic Surge ability, it is no longer empowered. Unholy Hunger, when a model in this unit makes a normal advance or fallback move until the end of the phase, add 3 to the move characteristic. Diabolic Power, when the unit is selected to shoot or fight, select lethal hits or sustain hits 1. Or Unnatural Fortitude, when this unit is selected as target of attack, till the end of the phase, modeling that unit have a 5+ invulnerable save and a feel no pain of 6+.
All extremely potent. Like I said, the carnivores already have sustained hits once. They can just pack. So I'm thinking it's very similar to a dark pact for Chaos Space Marines, if people just need to figure out how this thing works in their heads. But the ability they give you is a one-use ability rather than it being it maintaining. A carnivore, for example, can get lethals now, have lethal and sustained, which is quite potent. Also, I do need to let you guys know another significant change for the War Dogs. Stalkers now have Scout 6 on their data sheet. So let's have a little think here. Okay, so I'm gonna Scout 6 with my move 12 Stalker, turn 1. I'm going to surge for plus 3-inch move, and I'm going to go total 21 inches with my model and declare a charge or shoot. You can still take a Gatling, still take the Melter. Beautiful turn 1 pressure. And then that kind of threat range, putting that into your opponent, means that they're more likely to stay back and let you get everything into the staging. Moving 17 plus D6 advance on your carnivores to get them in the staging positions, fantastic. There's a bunch of the other Chaos Knights as well. One of the enhancements for that detachment is assault also. Now, this detachment also has a command point for Ignore's cover. Now, this is one where I love the despoiler. So the despoiler is the kind of the generic Questorus chassis, or I can't remember the keyword they use for instead of Questorus, but you get the idea. But it's unlike the Imperial Knights, you can take double gun. You can play double thermal. You can take double Gatling, baby. And that's where I'm at the moment. I'm currently building up my double Gatling despoiler.
Who will,
it's move 10 plus 3 with the surge, you know? So moving 13 plus D6 because it has assault. So possibly up to 19. And then shooting 36 strength 6 AP 2 ignores cover shots. There ain't nothing in the game that wants to cop that. And then if you don't need to use the plus 3 inches on the surge, you can use it for lethal or sustained. And oh, baby, you want to talk about your death company being scared?
Yeah, that thing is a lot tougher for them out there in the world, I'll tell you that. This detachment also has a sticky objective mechanic.
Yes, it does.
But it doesn't give you the, like, it would be OC zero, but you still control it.
Yeah. We're gonna have to start saying super sticky. This one is super sticky because it maintains OC upon it, even if you're not holding it. So the sticky and the super sticky now. They've made a whole new bracket. This is currently, so on face value, when I read through the codex, this was the one I was least high on, this detachment, the Infernal Lance. And right now I am, this is the detachment I'm actually the highest on competitively.
I felt like there was, like, you could tailor where you wanted your special ability, and then the downside is sometimes you take some damage, you know, but if it puts you in a better position, well, maybe that's good.
The other thing I'll point out is the despoiler I was talking about has an aura of plus 1 leadership, and it did have that before, but now it has plus 1 leadership and plus 1 objective control to units within 9, which, like I said, with that aura, you can make it 12 inches. And so that will offset the leadership 7 tests that you make on your War Dogs, because the army is leadership 6 on the big boys, leadership 7 on the rest. So there's a close to a 50-50 chance you're going to fail on your War Dogs. But when you take that to a 6, all of a sudden, mathematically, much better off. And then that at least lets you turn 1, you know, get all the good packs off for the plus 3 move to get your War Dogs out into position. But I don't think this is a thing you are doing every turn. Like, every turn, I don't expect people to be rolling their leadership tests for their surge moves.
Every turn. I do think it's Olympic surge all day, every day, all the time.
Now, there's one other important stratagem, which I think is very key. So there's, I think it's the first. So Bulwark made it into this detachment, by the way. So you do have your super rotate, but the other one is 1 CP, and it's at the start of any phase you get to do another pact, essentially. Now this one is quite key, because
any phase profane symbiosis 1 CP with the drawback, the only one, you cannot select the same unit as the target of the stratagem more than once per battle round,
which makes sense, because if you could expand this out, you absolutely would. So where that is key is that, let's say that the spoiler I was talking about needs to get an angle, needs that 3-inch move to guarantee getting an angle. And then, but start of the shooting phase, I can decide I want to do, I can spend a CP, and I can try and get those lethal and sustains, because I've already used the plus 3 move, so that surge is finished, or use it defensively, and in your opponent's turn, after they've lined up all their charges, gone through all those things, you pact, and you go for the 5 or plus involved in combat, and 6, I feel no pain. And so you really get the, I think this one, from my mind, has the widest spread of plays, and the best ability to tailor a list for the meta, if that makes sense. Like, for what you expect to see. because there's a bunch of different knights that come in and out of this. If I'm playing against Guard all day, or if I'm playing against, there's a bunch of other knights, that despoiler with the Gutless becomes a despoiler with thermals. And then it moves, you know, up to 19 inches to get into thermal range and just starts dunking on Rogal Dawns and Hammerheads and things like that, Land Fortress, you know? I want Abominance. You know, I could take double and triple Abominance and just do a bunch of Pulse and Mortal Wounds, do a bunch of extra Battle Shocks, and try and get my Devil Wounds going with their brand new souped-up Volkite Super Gun. You know, a bunch of different ways
we should talk about that too, because I think this is one of those things that has always kind of looked good on paper, but I don't know that people have still gone and opted for it. Are they going to opt for it now?
Well, so points withstanding, I'll let me know if we can talk points or not. I believe we can. It's the cheapest of the big knights, 325 points for an Abominant. And it kind of, so remember when I said there's not many knights that do everything that are like well-rounded? Chaos Knights seem to be, they'll have the extremes. They'll have, he's the guy that shoots like nothing you've ever seen. He's a rampager that will just flip a land fortress on its side and throw it into the sun should he make a charge move. They are, I got to say, rampagers are vicious. I'm extremely high on the rampager. But the Abominant is the tweener. Outside of Forge World, the Abominant is the one that does a little bit of everything. So, suffice to say, the Abominant, like just one turn out of the game, is you're going to feel like it's a superstar because it's got now got 12 attacks, 12 shots with its Volkite.
12 shots with the Volkite combustor. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to give us that profile?
Range 30 inches, 12 attacks, hits on threes, strength 12, 0 AP, 3 damage apiece, but it's devastating wounds.
So 12 shots with devastating wounds is the only thing I care about. And damage 3. So a lot of people have complained about the Abominant being like, oh, I wish it had AP. They would have to give it AP 2, which I think is unreasonable because we both know AP 1 against a savvy opponent is actually AP 0 because most likely they'll have cover and, you know, it won't matter anyway. So I'd rather them have more shots. If Dev Wounds is going to be the way you push this guy, I'd much rather more shots than having AP 1. And every now and then...
That's not only the only damage it does.
No, so this thing is a multimodal powerhouse. So they've changed one of its abilities. One of its abilities used to be point at a model within 12 inches, and it takes a battle shock. That's now been changed to 24 inches, which is a lot more juicy to just be like, haha, flip your objective.
And with the movement, it's basically most of the board.
It's all the important bits of the board covered by that. You have to have line of sight, which I'm not sure, I don't believe you did before, but I think it's 12 inches and no line of sight before. Now it's 24 inches but line of sight, which I do think is much better because it activates a bunch of your other abilities as well in the army rules. But you also have everything within 9 inches on a 3+ takes D3 mortal wounds. That's fantastic. That stacks because it's not an aura ability. So, you can't increase the aura, but because it's not an aura, it can be affected multiple times. So if you had three Abominants running in a brick, first and foremost, the dev wounds that they could possibly put out every turn on arguably kills a Rogal Dawn because their odds on to do 3 to 6 devastating wounds each at 36 inch range.
Yeah,
Rogal Dawn has 18 wounds. Oh boy, you're in cover with a 2+ save. Dev wounds don't care. Bang, bang, bang.
It's 30 inches, but it's movement of 10 too. So you got an effective 40. Range of 40 inches. Yeah.
If they can shoot you, you can shoot them, essentially. And then they're extremely dangerous to get close to because you're going to line up some stuff or you're going to use some defensive strats, take a battle shock, you know?
Well, also...
You're going to try an armor of contempt? Let's see if you pass the battle shock.
It's no slouch in melee either. The Electro Scourge has sustained hits 1, 9 attacks, hits on 3, strength 10, neg 2 AP, 3 damage apiece, and then it has a 2 damage tail, extra attacks for an extra 3 attacks at strength 8.
Yeah, it's totally fine, totally adequate shooting, totally adequate combat, and a little bit of spice for the rest of the game as well. I like the Abominant quite a lot. The Rampager, though, that's right here. The Rampager lives right here, baby, in my heart.
All right, let's get to the Rampager. So the Knight Rampager is movement of 12, 11 toughness, 3+, 5+, invulnerable save against shooting attacks, and 26 wounds, OC 10. Bloodlust is a special ability here. Each time this model makes a charge move until the end of the turn, its melee weapons have devastating wounds. And then Frenzied Rampage, which is an aura. While a friendly Wardog model is within 9 inches of this model, each time that Wardog makes an melee attack, reroll hit rolls of 1.
Devastating wounds on the charge. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but I believe this guy hits on 2s with sustain hits 1 Yeah. And one of his profiles has a 1 and an 8 in it. 18 attacks with sustained and devs.
Damage 2.
Tell me a unit. Tell me a unit that's not scared of this.
Yeah. Damage 2. That's point at it. That sweep is not damage 1. That's damage 2. That's 18 fishing
and
for the good ones.
It has 4 melee profiles. It literally has a melee profile for every occasion. That all hits on 2s with all different strengths, different APs, different damages, and all sustained hits. So you just pick the one that mathematically makes the best sense to you, and chances are you did the job. Did you make the charge? Yes or no? If you did make the charge, I reckon they're dead. They're dead. They're pretty dead, mate. Yeah. Fantastic ramp, AJ. They're so good.
And you have a heavy stubber.
Yeah. Up the heavy stubber. Up the stub.
Yeah, that's it. So what's your favorite knight out of this so far? Got a Rampager?
It is the Rampager. So the Abominate is my favorite model for Chaos Knights. I think the Abominate looks like everything that Chaos Knights should want to. But the Rampager is how I like to play my Chaos Knights. Yeah. Go get them. Eat them in their boots. Make them scared. Put the fear on them. But yeah, I actually think I would struggle to point at... So there's only one knight that I've struggled to find a place for in a list. And that's the Desecrator. Desecrator is the only one that I unfortunately haven't found a home for yet. But that speaks to the strength of this book. Because in the index...
Let us know in the comments where the home for the Desecrator is. Like, where are you going to
use
the Desecrator?
Let us know.
Let us know where we're wrong about that. But let's tell you what it does. Desecrator has shooting attacks and close combat attacks. And the obsessive ruthlessness each time this model makes a ranged attack that targets a monster or vehicle unit, that attack has a devastating wounds ability. That's pretty good. Taskmaster, while a friendly war dog model is within 9 inches of this model, each time that war dog model makes a ranged attack, reroll hit rolls of 1. Reroll a hit roll of 1. Sorry, I got a little too generous.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just the one that I haven't discovered where it lives yet. Where's the
situational configuration? If you're playing against those profiles, of course, all the time. But, you know, the game is not always those profiles.
Exactly. So I love the Despoilers. Take the gun that makes the most sense. Hell, I'm coming around to the double rapid fire battle cannon at the moment. I think that, because you can give it ignores cover, man. That profile, 813 with ignores cover, all of a sudden, terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. Double Gatlings, double thermals. There's not a wrong choice. I'm even in the Lords of Dread specifically, I'm very high on the Castellan configuration, and I'm actually quite high on the Valiant configuration because the Harpoon, my dude. It doesn't have a single shot anymore.
We'll close out and talk about the Harpoon because, you know, it's gone from meme, you know, to magnificent. You know, that's...
Finally.
I should say meme. It's always been crazy devastating, but, like, it's like sometimes it just didn't hit. Sometimes, you know, it only killed
that, or whatever. It was either hero or villain in your mind. It's like, cool, I got this giant building-sized Harpoon.
Yeah.
Somehow it missed.
So
I didn't think he could.
Warp Shock Harpoon, blast devastating wounds. This is on the Tyrant. 12-inch range, so short range, but you know, 8-inch move, good luck. D3 attack, sits on 3 strength, 24, neg 6 AP, 12 damage.
Now, some people are saying already that it doesn't have the anti-monster, anti-vehicle it used to have, so the devastating wounds don't go off
as
often.
24.
Yeah, what are you worried about? Straight 24.
Yeah.
Do they have an invulnerable save? No? Not a problem. Doesn't matter. Might as well be devastating wounds. the fact that it's D3 shots with blast now as well, it just means, like, as long as if you rolled 2 dice, if you rolled 2 on the D3 versus the Rhino, it's pretty much already dead. Because chances are you rolled 1 3+, then 1 2+, pick the model up. Get off my table, mate. You're no longer required. Yeah. It's so clutch. A big fan.
So I think the biggest thing that is going to be the shock when this book gets in folks' hands is that you are going to get different results if you try to play the same list. You're going to have to kind of find a detachment that works in for you. I would like to start with the Malefic Surge, you know, and see where that gets me. But heavy skewing into, I think, the War Dogs is where I'm going to try to play with a little bit. But, you know.
Well, it's very people who have been playing Chaos Knights for quite some time will find the Hound Pack Lance is the most likely place to start with this new book. And while they frantically build up their stockpiles of big boys, because not one Chaos Knight player I've talked to isn't super keen on running some big knights again. And so I'm really happy about that. That's the best thing they could have done with this codex, is to just make more of the models playable.
Well, because ease your way into it. Figure out what works for you. Yeah. Figure out what you're missing and then build up from there. And, you know, you probably have a couple of big knights. You know, you might have to do a little arm surgery. But
Yeah, absolutely. I'm big. Yeah. So I think to run... So previously, 13 War Dogs was all the Chaos Knights you ever needed to run every Chaos Knight configuration, because there was only one kind of, you know, very strong configuration. Now I think you need like three Questorus chassis. You want a Tyrant chassis. You want a Serastus chassis or two, because these are all things that are extremely playable, and you're going to have so much fun trying to figure out which ones are the best fit for you. We didn't talk about the Lancer. Like, I talked about the Rampager, but the Lancer's right up there in takeability, because that thing moves 14 still at the moment. And yep. Surging that thing to move 17, like, wow, that is a hell of a thing. Of course, should let you guys know, you still get to walk through walls with your Traitorous Lance. It's still there. So if you want to just play what you already did, you won't get to take as many, you won't get to take Windmill Slam 6 of a Brigand 6 Carnivores in there, because they don't have Battle Line, but you get 3 of each. Stalk is very takeable. The Huntsman, I think, is also very takeable as well. The starter sheet ability got changed, so it now gets 4 rerolls to wound against monsters and vehicles in combat and shooting. I think it's extremely takeable. So you could still run 12 dogs, but you'd have to take one big knight to be your warlord. So you could run 3 carnivores, 3 brigands, 3 huntsmen, 3 stalkers if you really wanted to, and still just take one big boy. And that'd be the easiest way to play the same rules with a same-looking army. But I'm going to encourage everybody to get their big boys out. Play, experiment. I've never felt better.
I think it's going to be real fun. I think that it's going to be more interactive. You know, your opponent's going to feel like they can interact with the list a little bit more, which is always cool for like game flow. And we'll see if it has an impact on the meta.
Yes, I like playing the War Dogs a lot. The turn where I expose like 3 or 4 War Dogs, you know, I put 3 or 4 War Dogs out on middle objectives, you almost are forced into putting out your best units to guarantee they're clear. And then I just all in that your best units. Like, you say you got a unit of Centurions, like this happened to in a game of mine. I put out 3 dogs turn 1. He had to bring his Centurions up turn 1 to kill the dogs. Otherwise, I was going to get a big primary lead. And then I just brought out all my Brigands and killed the Centurions. And the game was almost over already. That's not going to be the case anymore. Just like an Assault Intercessor with a fist just does so much more work. Like, sorry, a Strength 5 Chainswords just do so much more work. All these things feel a lot better for the opposition. And I like that more as the Chaos Knights play, because it felt, I didn't always love putting my opponent out of contesting the win early in the game. Like, I didn't like that stat check feel of, you know, because I'd rather have an arm wrestle for longer, because I'd rather sink my teeth.
Fair enough. That's what I mean. It's going to feel a little bit different for players. And I think but it's going to lead to more list experimentation and exploring the book, which is cool. Correct. Because I think we've highlighted some things that are there that are still going to be very powerful and still feel like, you know, that Chaos Knight, that Chaos Dread theme is going to be present through here.
Yeah. It feels a lot more like they did in 9th edition with that beautiful Dread table, which every Chaos Knight player I know harkens back to the Dread table. It was only like 3 years ago, guys. It's not Days of Yore yet, but it was a beautiful day. Yeah, some of those mechanics wouldn't make it in. Oh, take a leadership test. You failed. Can't charge me. That's too much.
All right. Well, that is our show for this week. So thanks for being patient with us as we do all the travel. Come check us out. Oh, you know, as we do some shoutcasting from Edmonton over this weekend. If you're hearing this, like, listen to this and then jump over there and see what's up. Although, you know, perfectly fine just to sit here and hit this subscribe and then catch us on next week. Adam, it's been a pleasure. Red and Tanya, we're going to be seeing Tanya up there.
And yes. And yep.
Looking forward to that. Yep. We'll see y'all soon, everybody. Have a great night.
See you guys.
The Sept Tenets demand you tune in next week for the greater good, of course.